This podcast is brought to you by Infosys, the global digital services and consulting partner of choice for the world's most powerful businesses. We amplify human potential and create the next opportunity for people, businesses, and communities.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, March 24th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. The head of TikTok was center stage in Washington yesterday as lawmakers expressed concerns that the popular app could be used by China to spy on users.
This is a benign company that's just performing a public service. I don't buy it.
How did TikTok CEO Shou Chu respond? Our tech policy reporter John McKinnon will join us to explain. That's after these headlines. A person suspected of being South Korean crypto fugitive Do Kwon was arrested in Montenegro on Thursday, according to a country official. Montenegro's interior minister said on Twitter that the suspect was detained at an airport carrying false documents, and local authorities were awaiting confirmation of his identity. Do Kwon created the failed stablecoin Terra USD. When it lost its peg to the dollar last May, it wiped out some $40 billion from the digital currency markets, hurting thousands of investors worldwide. South Korean authorities issued a warrant for Kwon's arrest in September. Neither Montenegro's interior minister nor representatives for Kwon's company, Terraform Labs, responded to requests for comment. Jack Dorsey's payment company Block, formerly known as Square, has been accused of inflating user numbers. Short seller Hindenburg Research said a two-year investigation showed the company's Cash App was reporting misleading metrics filled with, quote, fake and duplicated accounts. Hindenburg also said Block took advantage of low-income and minority users with predatory loans. In a statement, Block called Hindenburg's report, quote, factually inaccurate and misleading, and said it's exploring legal action against the short seller. As a short seller, Hindenburg could benefit if Block's share price falls. And a 16-month-old chatbot startup founded by two former Google employees is now a $1 billion unicorn. Character AI recently earned its billion-dollar valuation after raising $150 million in a new funding round. A company representative said the startup doesn't generate any revenue yet, but might offer a premium subscription service in the future. Here's breaking news reporter Alyssa Luckpat on what Character AI's success says about the AI landscape as a whole.
It certainly indicates what VC firms seem to be thinking about chatbot and AI technology. If even amid tougher economic headwinds right now, we're still seeing substantial investments in this futuristic technology.
All right, coming up, TikTok may have 150 million users in the U.S., but its CEO struggled to find fans at a congressional hearing yesterday. We'll discuss what went down when we come back.
This podcast is brought to you by Infosys, the global digital services and consulting partner of choice for the world's most powerful businesses.
On Thursday, TikTok CEO Shou Chu testified before the House Energy and Commerce Committee. And from the start, the exchanges between the TikTok boss and U.S. lawmakers were fiery. Here's the committee's chair, Washington Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers, questioning Chu.
As I previously referenced, TikTok spied on American journalists. Can you say with 100% certainty that neither ByteDance nor TikTok employees can target other Americans with similar surveillance techniques?
Chair Rogers, I first of all disagree with the characterization that is spying. It was an internal investigation.
Yes or no? Can you do surveillance of other Americans?
We will protect the U.S. user data and fire it all from all unwanted foreign access. It's a commitment that we've given to the committee.
So I guess my question is, I wanted to hear you say with 100% certainty that neither ByteDance nor TikTok employees can target other Americans with similar surveillance techniques as you did with the journalist.
Again, I don't disagree with the characterization in surveillance, and we have given our commitments, Chair Rogers. The four commitments, I think it's our commitment that we will not be influenced by any government.
With me to discuss what else happened at the hearing and what it means for TikTok's future is WSJ tech policy reporter John McKinnon. Hi, John. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome.
So, John, we just heard that fiery interaction between Chu and Chair Rogers. Was that the tone throughout the hearing?
It certainly was. I was really surprised to hear so many unfriendly questions from so many lawmakers in a row. It must have been quite an experience for Mr. Chu.
The U.S. government is threatening to ban TikTok in the country if its Chinese owners don't sell their stake. Did it seem like Chu's testimony did anything to prevent that from being the outcome?
I don't think that his testimony has done too much to advance TikTok's cause or win many more friends in Congress than it currently has, which is not very many. That said, I think that he did a pretty good job of hanging in there and taking the hits, and there was no knockout, I would say. He didn't really get angry or lash out at any of the questions that he was getting. He maintained his equilibrium. So in a sense, he might have bought some time for TikTok, because one thing that Congress is not very good at is doing things quickly. And I think maybe TikTok hopes that if Congress drags this out for a lot longer, then TikTok has a hope of finally winning people over to its point of view.
Were there any specific interactions during the hearing that stood out to you?
I was struck by some questions that came from Representative Kamak. She's a Republican from Florida. She showed a TikTok video that depicted a handgun firing, and it had a caption that mentioned the hearing that went on and also mentioned the chair of the committee that was holding the hearing, Kathy McMorris Rogers from Washington.
This video has been up for 41 days. It is a direct threat to the chairwoman of this committee, the people in this room, and yet it still remains on the platform. And you expect us to believe that you are capable of maintaining the data security, privacy, and security of 150 million Americans where you can't even protect the people in this room?
You know, we know that TikTok has this plan called Project Texas to house U.S. users' data with the cloud company Oracle that's based in Austin. Did Chu make any other pledges about users' data or protecting U.S. users?
He had a pretty carefully crafted formula of a series of security promises, most of which are embodied in Project Texas, and he kept coming back to that over and over. TikTok has this very extensive set of promises on security and privacy that they say is really an industry leader, and that other tech companies don't do anything like what they're promising to do. And they're hoping that that's going to be a sufficient alternative to either banning TikTok or trying to force a sale of TikTok to essentially a non-Chinese company.
Has China reacted at all to the idea that the U.S. might force a sale of TikTok?
Yes. The Chinese government put out a statement that basically said that any sale of TikTok would involve the export of Chinese technology and therefore would have to be approved by the Chinese government. And this occurred right before the hearing started and created quite a stir, I would say, with the members of Congress, who, in a way, I think it put TikTok in a tougher position because it suggested that China's really on the side of ByteDance and TikTok, ByteDance being TikTok's parent.
Interesting. I want to turn to another issue that's been raised concerning TikTok. That's the issue of young users on the platform. Representative Bob Latta, he's a Republican from Ohio. He told this story about a 10-year-old girl who participated in a breath-holding challenge that was popular on TikTok. I just want to play this clip from Representative Latta.
Unfortunately, this is one of the many devastating examples of children losing their lives because of content promoted by TikTok. Section 230 was never intended to shield companies like yours from amplifying dangerous and life-threatening content to children.
He mentioned Section 230 there. That is what prevents platforms from being liable for information that their users put up. But how much did this issue of child safety come up at the hearing, and how did Chu respond?
Oh, it was a consistent theme in this hearing, and there were all kinds of examples. The one that Mr. Latta was talking about is known as the blackout challenge. There's also the milk crate challenge, the NyQuil chicken challenge, the Benadryl challenge. There's a challenge that promotes car theft. So members brought a lot of these up over and over, I would say. And they also brought in comparisons to the sister app of TikTok in China, which is called Douyin, and noted that this kind of thing just doesn't happen on that app. And so it was a really, really tough line of questioning for Mr. Chu. TikTok has announced a lot of sort of special protective policies for children on the app. And again, a lot of these are industry-leading standards, according to TikTok, and they are very careful to give a different type of content to younger children who identify as younger. The problem with all of these protections is they depend on knowing how old the kid is who's using the app. And quite often they don't know. Quite often the kids can say they're older than they really are. And these protections just don't work all that well, but at least they were prepared for it. But I don't think a lot of members were won over.
Okay, so what happens next?
What comes next is a little bit less clear. Congress, you know, is never very quick out of the blocks. And so we've gotten a hearing where a lot of members expressed a lot of concern, even anger at some points with TikTok, but it's still not clear exactly what Congress can do and perhaps more important, when it can do it.
All right, that's WSJ tech policy reporter John McKinnon. And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. But another quick reminder before we close the show that we still want to hear your questions about generative artificial intelligence. Do you want to know more about programs like ChatGPT, Microsoft's new Bing search, or Google's new Bard? Email us a voice recording to tnb@wsj.com or leave your AI question as a voicemail on 415-439-6482. We look forward to hearing from you. TNB's producer is Julie Chang. We had production assistance from Zoe Colkin. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy, and our executive producer is Chris Sinsley. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
Join us online Tuesday, March 28th at the WSJ Jobs Summit when the Wall Street Journal brings together leaders offering the latest job market insights and a toolkit on how to turn this volatile job market into your competitive advantage. Register today. Visit wsj.com/jobsummitpodcast and claim your ticket at no cost.